This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim, welcome everyone to tonight's shir, Parshas Kisetze. Tonight's shir is, and all the shirim on Sefer Devarim are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Lilo Nishmas, Reb Shloima Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, his Neshama Shavan Aliyah, B'yomel Tzioshir for the whole family, Abi Askoel Tzedek. And tonight's shir, last moment, is sponsored anonymously. I wasn't supposed to mention his name, by Yaakov Mizrahi, but it's sponsored anonymously. Nobody knows who it is. And we're mevarechim with Simchas Anachas Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. If anybody still wants to participate in Sefer Bereishis, which is going to print, and could still use a little bit of a boost, please contact us. And Bezus Hashem, we hope to have it available for Sefer Bereishis. Okay, so a very interesting subject tonight. And this is one of the opening narratives in the Chumash, and that is the episode of the Ben Soiru Umayra, the wayward son. Let's begin as follows. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Andaf Kuf Zayin, an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, David HaMelech wanted to serve idols. David HaMelech, not only that, he tried to serve idols. And the Gemara darshans it from a pasuk. And all of a sudden, a man comes to David HaMelech, and he said, and his name was Hushai HaArki. And Hushai HaArki says, David, a king like you, you're going to serve idols? And David says, a king like me should be pursued and harassed by his own son. We know that Avshalom was running after David HaMelech to chase him. It's interesting, if you open up Tehillim, already in Paragimel of Tehillim, which according to many is the second chapter of Tehillim, David, Mizmor LeDavid, Bevarcha Mibnei Avshalom Benoi. So, his David's first tsar he ever encountered was being chased by his own son. So David said, I have to serve idols. Because if I don't serve idols and people look at me and they see my son trying to kill me, it's going to be a Chilul Hashem. Why be a Chilul Hashem? Because people are going to say that a tzaddik has such a harsh and difficult life. So therefore I am obligated to violate the will of Hashem in order to justify why such a terrible thing is happening to me. In other words, David HaMelech felt that he needed to justify the hand of Shamayim, and he went to serve idols. We have to explain what that means. And Hushai HaArki says, David, wait a second. You don't need to come up with a reason why God is punishing you. Nobody's going to have any questions when they see your son running after you to kill you. Don't think you're such a big tzaddik that people are going to say, oh, why is this happening to David HaMelech? Doesn't God run the world? Nobody's going to have any questions when they see what happened to you. Because you, David, you married a Yifas Toyar. Right? We know that's the first story in the Chumash. Yifas Toyar is like this. If you're fighting to defend the Jewish people, and you're fighting to defend Klal Yisrael, and you're in the heat of the battle, you're on the battlefront, and you're on the war front, and passions are flaring, and at such a time, if a man encounters a beautiful woman, Chazal say, the desire and the lust becomes unbearable. And therefore, Chazal have given allowance that under those circumstances, the man could take the woman, live with her, yes, convert or not convert her, it's a discussion, it's a machlokes, but he can definitely have relations with this woman, he marries her later, he doesn't marry her later. And this is called Yifas Toyar, because Chazal say, if we don't let him live with her beheter, he's going to live with her be'isser. However, Chazal also say, that why is the halacha of Yifas Toyar juxtaposed to Ben Soiru Umayra? What's the connection between Yifas Toyar and Soiru Umayra? Chazal say, you want to marry her? No problem. But you're going to ultimately hate her, and then you're going to have a nice little Russia kid, you're going to have a wicked child, who's going to be a wayward son, so therefore, you want her, you got her, but you know, you're going to eat your poison from it. So that's the juxtaposition of the Yifas Toyar with the Ben Soiru Umayra. So David, nobody's going to have any questions on you when they see your son running after you to kill you. They're not going to say, oh, he's such a big tzaddik. Everybody knows David HaMelech married a Yifas Toyar. He lived with Yifas Toyar, who, by the way, which Yifas Toyar did David live with? Her name was Ma'acha Bas Melech Talmai of Geshur. And therefore, everybody will understand that Avshalom, your beloved Avshalom, is a Ben Soiru Umayra, and that's why he's trying to kill you. So David HaMelech says, what do you mean? I thought you were allowed to marry Ben Soiru, Yifas Toyar. So Hushai HaArki says, hey David, You don't darshan smuchim. You don't darshan juxtaposition. That's why Yifas Toyar is juxtaposed to Ben Soira Moira, to teach that if somebody marries a Yifas Toyar, they will have a Ben Soira Moira. And this is what Rashi brings down in the beginning of the parsha. Rashi brings that why does the Torah bring the episode of the Yifas Toyar, and then a woman who you hate, and then a Ben Soira Moira, to teach you want to marry Yifas Toyar? No problem. Go ahead, marry her. You're going to ultimately hate her. You're ultimately going to have a Ben Soira Umaira. Now, a few things are in order. Namely, David was going to serve idols. I mean, you can't just serve idols because you want to make God look good. I want to make God look good today, so I'm going to go bow down to idols. It's not something you could take into your own hands. So the Mefarshim discussed this at length. The Aruch HaNer writes that David wasn't going to actually serve idols. He was going to make himself look like he was serving idols. Maris Ayin. So if anybody has any questions why God is doing this to him, he'll give off the appearance as if he's serving idols, so they won't have any questions on God. Another pshat, the Marsha says, is that no, David wasn't actually going to serve idols. What he was going to do was he was going to move to Cedarhurst. And the halacha is, if somebody leaves the land of Israel, but not just Cedarhurst, but maybe Williamsburg, Lakewood, recently most people say, oh, I heard the shir on Lakewood radio. So that's right. If you leave Eretz Yisrael to go anywhere in the world, you're considered as if you're oyved avodah zarah. Why? The Gemara says, kol mi shadar be'eretz Yisrael ki'ilu yesh lo eloika. Anyone who lives in the land of Israel, it's as if you have a God. Anyone who lives outside of the land of Israel, it's as if you don't have a God. Okay, so whatever, I'm sure everybody has their reasons and their rationales, and maybe they're good, but there is such a concept that leaving the land of Israel is akin to idolatry. So David said, I'm going to leave Israel. That's what David HaMelech says. Ki gershuni hayoy mehistapeach benachlas alekim. That David HaMelech said, I'm going to leave the land of Israel and it'll be like I served idols. Or Rabbi Yonasan Aibishit says, do you remember from Parsha Shoftim? Why is the Isser of planting an Asherah next to appointing a Dayan who is not proper? Anyone who appoints an improper Dayan, it's as if he planted an Asherah tree. So David was going to position an improper Dayan, and that's like Avodah Zarah. And therefore, David HaMelech was going to give the impression as if he was serving Avodah Zarah. But here's the problem. So David had this great idea. David was going to serve idols, and he's going to make God look good. And Chushei Arki says, you don't need to make God look good. God looks very good as it is. You married a Yifas Toyar. David didn't know that if you marry a Yifas Toyar, you have a Ben Soira Moira. David didn't learn Rashi on the Sixth Parsha. I mean, you know Rashi comes from David HaMelech, right? No, but it's a chazal. It's what chazal say. Chazal darshan, the juxtaposition of the Yifas Toyar with Ben Soira Moira. So why didn't David know that if you live with the Yifas Toyar, you're going to have a Ben Soira Moira? That's the question of Chazam Sofer. Another question. Here you have a guy. He's on the battlefront. His passions are flaring. He can't contain himself. He can't control himself. He said, what am I going to do? The Torah says I can't live with this lady. But he can't control himself. So we say, don't worry. The Torah gets you. The Torah digs you. The Torah understands human nature. And under these circumstances, no problem. You can't overcome. Live with her. But by the way, if you live with her, you're going to mess up your future. You're going to have messed up children. So wow, the Torah is really being very understanding to this gentleman. I mean, what kind of understanding is that? You're telling the guy, no problem, do whatever you want, we understand, you're vulnerable now, you see your Achilles heel, but you should just know, if you give in to it, you're going to mess up your whole future forever and ever and ever. Wow, that's very understanding of you, Torah. So what is this dichotomy? We understand, we let, but we give him basically the worst possible repercussion that anyone could possibly have. So you ready for this? Says the Chassam Sofer in the Drashos on page Shin Mem Dalet. Says the Chassam Sofer, amazing thing. He says that there is no question that if someone's on the battlefield and passions are flaring and he can't control himself, the person is allowed to give in, live with the Yifas Toyar, and he will have children, tzaddikim, tamidei chachamim, go'inim, Marbitze Torah, and then he'll have tremendous nachas from these children. After all, if the Torah allows someone to marry the Yifas Tayar, then nothing bad could happen from it, yeah? But what if you have a guy, here you have this little tzaddikal on the battlefront, and he's looking at all these men who are vulnerable, and he's thinking to himself, it's a piece of cake for me, I'm not tempted, I could overcome my Yitzhahara. Yeah, but you know, now's my chance! I might as well take advantage of the heter of Yifas Tayar, everyone else is doing it. So, why not? I'll join in the fun. I'll join in the action. Can he do that? Or is it only given to someone who legitimately cannot overcome, but somebody who could have overcome, he has to control himself. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's no question, this heter is only given to somebody who was not able to control themselves. But if somebody was able to control themselves, then they would not be allowed to marry the Fastara. So,
it becomes very subjective.
Yeah. So basically, you have to be something that very few people are. You have to be honest with yourself. Right? Person has to basically know themselves and be able to figure out, you know, what level they're on. Can they overcome or not? So David HaMelech thought, he's there on the battlefront, and he thought, this is too hard for him. He's too tempted. He can't overcome. So he figured he legitimately had the right to live with the Yifas Tayar. And he had no anticipation of any bad children to come. He didn't think that anything detrimental would come out of this. But David made a mistake, because David underestimated himself. Because David really could have overcome the Nisayon. He had what it took to overcome. And he wasn't allowed to live with the Yifas Tayar. And that's what Hushai Aki said. David, don't make the mistake and think you're the guy who's allowed to marry the Yifas Tayar. You, in fact, David, were not allowed to marry the Yifas Tayar. And you illegitimately took advantage of this heter. And that was the machlokes between David and Hushai Aki. Now, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara implies that Avshalom was a Ben Sairo Mayra. I mean, that's what the Gemara says. Hushai Aki said, he's running after you because you married a Yifas Tayar, and the inevitable repercussion is you're going to have a Ben Sairo Mayra. In fact, the Bala Turim says, Soirer 466 is Gematria Ze Avshalom Ben David. The numerical value of Ze Avshalom Ben David is Soirer. However, there's another Gemara. The Gemara says that the father and mother have to have the same voice. They have to sound exactly the same. Otherwise, the Ben Sairu Umayra does not become a Ben Sairu Umayra. They have to have the same voice. Now, what is the likelihood of a husband and wife having the same voice? No. No two people have the same voice. Because it says, V'loy shama b'koileinu. He didn't listen to our voice, as if they have the same voice. And then the Gemara says, not only do they have the same voice, but they need to look the same. And they need to have the same height. Now, if you saw a couple who looked the same, had the same height, you'd say, you know, this is a nightmare or something, you know? You know, what's going on over here? You're the Twilight Zone. What's happening? But that's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Ben Sairu Umayra, never was, never will be. Why was it written to receive schar, to learn it and receive schar? Who does this go like? It goes like this opinion that a Ben Sairu Umayra, the father and the mother have to have the same voice and the same appearance and the same height. And then the Gemara brings the opinion of Rab Shimon that, what's the logic? The guy ate a little too much at a barbecue and now you're killing the kid? No, Rav Shimon holds Ben Sairu Umayra never was, never will be. What's the point of it? Learn it and receive reward. Then the Gemara says that. Rav Yoina's son said, what are you talking about? I saw Ben Sairu Umayra. Not only that, I was once sat on the grave of a Ben Sairu Umayra. Now, I like to visit Kvarim. I have yet to go to actually, I was at the kever of Avshalom. But it's on Har HaZeisim, right? Yad Avshalom. But I haven't been at the kever of a Ben Sairu Umayra. I never saw a grave. Here lies a wayward son. You know? And also, it's not on my bucket list either. But the Gemara says that there's a machloikis, whether Ben Sarmar existed or not, but it seems like the standard viewpoint is that it never existed. It never happened. And why does the Torah write it? So you can learn about it and receive reward. So Rabbeinu Bechaye asks the following question. So you're basically saying, the Torah created a bizarre circumstance of two parents who are like aliens. They both, I don't know what, they fell into Chernobyl, into some gas leak or something, and they both look the same, and they have the same voice and the same height, and you know, and it never happened, and why did the Torah write it? Well, to learn it and get reward. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, what exactly, what kind of reward is the Torah looking? You know, if the Torah just wants to write more words so we can learn more information to get reward, I could think of bizarre, you know, stories. Once upon a time, there was a rabbit who turned into a dragon, who started spitting wood and nickels. I mean, I'll learn it and get schar. You're saying that the Torah basically wrote a bizarre situation that can't occur and never occurred just to learn and get reward. What are you supposed to get out of this? So Rabbeinu Bechai says as follows. There is a very important limud from the Ben Sarah Myra. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, the greatest love in this world is the love of a parent, a father, and a mother to a child. There's no greater love than a parent to a child. The parent lives for the child. The parent gives everything for the child. However, what if that child is a wayward child? It can't happen. It never happened. But what if? So what do we expect of the parent? We expect the parent, basically, to follow the dictates of the Torah, and to say that God commands that if this child is so wayward that he's involved in excessive eating and he's going to rob and he's going to murder, the parents is obligated to take the kid to Beis Din and give the kid over to Beis Din, and the Beis Din will give lashes to the kid, and if the kid doesn't listen, Beis Din will kill the child. Basically, the parent is obligated to elevate and magnify his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu over his love for the child. From this story of the Ben Sarah Umayra, we learn from here how great one's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be, that one's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be even above and beyond one's love for their child. And that's something to learn and to get reward from. That is the purpose of the story, and Rabbeinu Bechai says this is the limud of Akedas Yitzchak.
Why do you need the Ben Sori? You can learn it from Akedas.
Okay, good question. Rabbeinu Bechai says that this inyan has already been taught through the story of Avraham at the Akedah, and that is why Avraham is called Avraham Oyhavi, Avraham my beloved, because Avraham loved Hashem more than his son. So David's asking, so we already know this from the Akedah, why do we need to have a mitzvah, Ben Sarah Myra? So it could be like this. From Avraham Avinu, we see that it is humanly possible to elevate one's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over one's love for a son. But you would say, that's for the greatest of tzaddikim, but this is not something expected of every average Jew. So Hashem gave us a mitzvah, that this is the ambition and this is the requirement and the obligation of every Jew to elevate their love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over their love for the son. Now, had we not had the Akedah and we just had the mitzvah Ben Sarah Myra, you would think, okay, God's telling this to us, but you can't actually do it. Nobody actually did that. So we have the story as well, so to speak, backing that up, perhaps, that in fact, somebody did reach this madriga. And maybe we could add, as we like to say many times, that the remez to the month of Elul is what? Ani, v'doidi, v'doidi li. Yeah, everyone's very tired tonight. Yeah, well, tired. Slichos, you started as Rosh Chodesh Elul. Svarad, no. Ani l'doidi v'doidi. Why is Elul ani l'doidi v'doidi li? Why not ani l'ashem v'ashem li? Ani l'shakai v'shakai li? Ani l'tzvakos? Because the Chida says, in the month of Elul, we want to do tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love. Tshuva of love, because when you do tshuva out of love, all of one's averos are transformed into mitzvahs. Somebody mentioned to me recently that idea that when a person does tshuva me'ava, their averos turns into mitzvos, they had mentioned they were about tshuva, and they did certain things in their past, and this was a very inspiring concept, that if a person does tshuva me'ava, you could transform all your averos into mitzvos, and that's the ambition of Chodesh Elul, ani ledoidi, to do tshuva me'ava, and therefore in Parshas Ki Seitze, we have the mitzvah of Ben Soiru Moira to inspire us to the madrigos of Avas Hashem that we need to try to aspire to, namely that we should elevate the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the love of anything that we have in this world. And here's a $1 million question. Why do we kill the Ben Soiru Moira? What did he do? He ate 3 hot dogs instead of 2 hot dogs. And he had a very big piece of steak. And he had 2 pieces of corn also. And a little extra coleslaw. And too many pickles. And maybe an extra beer. I mean, that's why you're killing the kid? Somebody asked me, he's addicted to meat. So he's addicted? So let him go to therapy. What happened to therapy? So, you know, he did already. They tried. It didn't work. Anyway, the bottom line is, Rashi says, look at number 6, Uben Saru Moira Nerag Al Shem Soifai. He's killed based on the way we project his end. He Gia Torah L'Soif Datai. The Torah looks into what's going to be in the end. In the end, it's not cheap eating steak every night. It adds up. Especially, what do they charge for steak? If you order a steak in the store, it's going to cost you $25. In the restaurant, it's going to cost you... what, $50? The kid's eating a steak every night. Every night, 6 days a week, $300 a week just for the steak and the corn and everything and the extra coleslaw and the 2 beers. It's he's running up a bill every night, $193. His job pays him basically $43 a day. And by the time the month is over, he's broke. So he has to rob. He's starting to steal bikes, then motorcycles. And then, I don't know what, he robs a bank, and he can end up killing someone. So therefore we say, listen kid, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to kill you, and this way you'll die innocent and you won't die guilty. Basically, why does the Ben Soiru Moira die? Why do we kill him? Because Nerag Al Shem Soifai. We look into his future, the kid's got a dark future, kill him now while he's innocent. By the way, the stipler says, Soirer Umoira is Gematria Al Shem Soifai Hu Nidoin. He's judged based on the future. So basically, we're using the following mechanism. We don't view you the way you are now, we view you based on what you're going to be in the future. But wait a second, don't we know... what about tshuva? And don't we know the famous rule? The famous rule that we learn out of Yishmael, where Avram chased Hagar and Yishmael out of the house, and they were dying of thirst, and Hashem wanted to make a miracle and give Yishmael water. And the Malachim said, this chalerio, you're going to give water. You know what they're going to do? They're going to kill the Jews in thirst one day, and you're going to give water to someone who's going to cause the Jews to die of thirst? So God says to the angels, tell me now, right now, is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? So now he's a tzaddik. No, I only look at a person the way he is now. I don't project the future. That's why it says, ba'asher husham, the way he is now. That's one of the reasons we read this on Rosh Hashanah. We tell you, whatever you're going to be in a month from now, you're going to sink back into your bad ways. Just be good now, today on Rosh Hashanah. Because God judges you the way you are now, not He doesn't project what you're going to be. So this is one of the famous theological questions in the Chumash. Yishmael teaches us that God judges somebody based on the way they are now. He does not project the future. And the Ben Soiru Moira is, Hashem Nidoin, Hashem Soifa, Hu Nidoin. Good question, right? All the Mefarshim asked this question. Ben Soiru Moira is judged based on the future, and Yishmael was judged the way he is now. There are many answers. I'll tell you the top 3 answers. The main 3 answers in the Achronim. Answer number one is given by the Moishav Zakenim. Moishav Zakenim, that's the name of the Sefer. In fact, I have a good friend who... one time when he heard the name Moshe of Zakenim, he sort of humorously made light of this name, not realizing that this is one of the Balei HaToisis. And then he found out, you know, you can't make light of a name of the Svarim of one of the Rishonim. So he was told, as a way of being Mesakein, he should give out the Sefer Moshe of Zakenim. Okay, listen to what the Moshe of Zakenim says. He says, there's a big difference between the wayward son and Yishmael. And that is, Yishmael right then, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He's a cute kid. Nice guy. There's nothing about what he's doing that would allow you to project what his future would be. In other words, looking at Yishmael, we don't see him heading in any direction. Okay, then we don't project. We can't use prophecy to project the future. But right now, this Ben Sar Omira, he's eating like a glutton. He's eating, he's drinking, he's armed and he's dangerous. And the way he's behaving now lends itself, we see he's already starting his downward spiral. In other words, Yishmael, God happens to know prophetically what's going to be in the future. God will not project based on that. But in the case of Yishmael, Ben Sar Omira, he's already starting his downward spiral, so then we project the future. Remind me your name again?
Saul.
So Saul is asking.
He was corrupting.
Why did they throw Yishmael out? Because he was Mitzachik, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, he's doing bad stuff. So how could the Moshe of Zakenim say that there is nothing that Yishmael was doing from which we could project what his ultimate outcome would be? So if you look in the Sifsei Chacham, and he quotes Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, who adds one more detail, and that is, could be Yishmael was not a great guy at that time either. But what is the Avera that he would ultimately do that should not allow God to give water to the Jewish people? He's going to make us die of thirst. There is nothing about what Yishmael was doing that would give us an inkling, he'll ultimately cause us to die in thirst. In other words, that ultimate sin did not begin in any way. The seeds of it were not there. Right. In other words, we can only project if what ultimately we're going to project, the seeds of that have already begun. As opposed to the Ben Sar Omira, this behavior that he's doing now lends itself, is we're inclined to see, we already see the first steps of his downward spiral. That's what Rabbi Yom Mizrahi just adds to that first answer. Answer number two, you ready for this? Answer number two is like this. God will project the future. In you. But he's not going to project the future based on your children. So the Malachim said, you're going to give him water? His children are eventually going to cause us to die in thirst. God said, what about him? Him. Right now. Here, this guy. This guy is good. I don't care about the children. I'm not going to project the future based on the children. But the Ben Sar Omira, it's that guy himself. God will project the future based on that guy. Third answer. God will never project the future. You are what you are. But God lets the court down here project the future. In a way, it's very counterintuitive. God lets man project the future. He himself doesn't project the future. Even though God knows the future, and man can only guess. But on the other hand, maybe fundamentally, God cannot project the future because since he knows what it is, it's going to sort of interfere with free choice if God would... Right. How could God allow the future to affect the way he views us then? You know, then why go through it to begin with? The Chida adds another few ideas. And that is, you know why the Ben Sar Omira we project the future? Because he comes from bad stock. Who's his mother? His mother is Yifas Toyar. His mother is a Gentile. His mother is from the heathens. So since he comes from Tipa Serucha, he comes from impure origins, we'll say, you know what? Likely we know what his end will be.
But did Abraham come from good stock?
Who? You're right. So it's a good thing Avraham wasn't a Ben Sar Omira, Chas V'Shalom. He was a good guy. There's nothing... In other words, When somebody starts bad behavior, will project the future if they come from bad stock. Now, what about Yishmael? So the Chida says something interesting, that Yishmael was the son of Abraham, and Hagar converted.
Later on, after.
And Hagar converted. Even though, by the way, the Mefarshim say that historically there have been many wonderful Gerim from Esav. Like who? Like Shmaya, Avtalion, Unklis, Oivadya, and of course, Rabbi Meir, right? So we've been many nice Gerim from Esav. How many Gerim from Yishmael? Nobody. Nobody ever converted. Nobody of note ever converted from Yishmael. Why? Because Yishmael was born in a Rechem Temea. Yishmael came from an impure womb, Hagar. But Esav came from Rivka. So Esav had some sparks of Kedusha on him. Okay. Now, who else was judged based on their end? And this is also another factor. Yosef HaTzadik. One of the reasons the brothers wanted to kill Yosef is because they looked in the future and they saw Yeravam ben Nevat was going to come out of him. So that's also another instance. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of the 10 tribes. Here's another interesting thing. And I think this is another approach. Let's say you're walking down the street on West Broadway and Oakland Avenue. And you see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him. And you happen to be carrying a gun on you. What do you do? Not in America. What do you do? Haba, right? What will we call Reuven in Halacha? It's a Roidev. You got to kill Reuven. Why do we kill Reuven? Why do we kill Reuven? Reuven's a good guy. He just came from the Daf Yomi, and he was just honored by his son's yeshiva, parent of the year, and, you know, he was the dinner chairman of, at I don't know what. Why do you kill Reuven? Because Reuven is running after Shimon. But he didn't, right now, he's a good guy! Yeah, but he's a roidev. And we can judge him based on Seifai. He's nidoy now Shimon. We know what he's going to do. Anyone who's trying to kill somebody is a roidev. And we could say, we could judge him based on the future. Says the Chizkuni, a ben Sairo Moira is a roidev. Right now, by being so excessively involved in food, and he's habitually always needing a lot of money to buy food, and he's going to at all costs kill someone to get his money, to buy the food, he's a roidev, and he's a roidev, you could kill him. I think this might be another answer to the question. Again, a roidev is someone who is deemed actively dangerous. Right, if Reuven's running after Shimon, you're allowed to kill Reuven, even though Reuven's a great guy right now. He himself gave the Daf Yomi Shir. Even so, you could kill Reuven, because Reuven's a roidev. That means we're allowed to judge Reuven al Shem Soifai. So the Ben Soira Rumoira is Nidain al Shem Soifai. Okay, another thing. Soirer Umoira. Spell the word Umoira. Vav. Mem. Vav, Reish, Hey. That's the first time it says, Soirer Umayra. The second time it says, they bring him to Bezin, B'nei Nuzeh, Soirer Umayra. And there it's spelled, Vav, Mem, Reish. Vav, Mem, Reish, Hey. It's missing the second Vav. And I knew this was troubling you. I know that's why you were a little bit grouchy tonight. Because you were wondering about that second Vav. What happened to the second Vav? Like, your wife said, what is it? Is it the second Vav? So it's the second Vav. Why is the second Vav missing by Umoira? So the Shas HaTshuvas Binyan Shlomo of Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna says as follows. There are six ways to get out of being a Ben Sar Umoira. If the father and mother are missing a leg, if they're crippled, if they're mute, if they're deaf, if they're blind, or if there are no zakenim in the city. then the Ben Soma gets out of it. Okay, another, there's six ways out. Now another halacha. Let's say the kid is eating 17 steaks every night. You just kill him? No. You give him lashes once, twice, and then you kill him. The halacha that there are six ways out of becoming a Ben Soira Moira is only a p'tur on the Misa, not a p'tur on the Malkus. So the first time it's talking about they're bringing him to Bezin to get whipped. It doesn't say the missing Vav, because if you're missing any of these things, you're not p'tur from being a Ben Soira Moira. But when they're bringing him to court to kill him, if you're missing any of these six things, he wouldn't be a Ben Soira Moira, so the Torah did not write the second Vav. Now here's a great question. David, you're going to like this question. You ready? We kill the Ben Soira Moira based on what the end is going to be. How do we kill him? What punishment do we give him? We stone him. What are we projecting he's going to do in the future? He's going to kill someone. Let's say someone actually kills someone. What punishment do we give them? What is the punishment for a murderer? Hereg. So we chop off the head with a sword. So if the whole reason we kill him is because he's going to murder, why wouldn't we give him the punishment that he would get if he would be a murderer? The whole reason is we're projecting. So projecting, what would he get if he actually murdered? That's the question of Bibishua Leib Diskin. So the answer is very pashut. You think the only thing he's going to do is he's going to murder? He's only going to murder. That's the only thing he's going to do. What if he needs to desecrate Shabbos? He'll probably desecrate Shabbos. What if he'll probably curse his father and mother? Now, desecrating Shabbos is skila. Cursing father and mother is skila. So that wait, but that's not what Chazal say. Chazal say we project he's going to curse his father and mother. We project he's going to desecrate Shabbos. Chazal say we project he's going to kill. So it's like this. We know he's going to do all the above. But if we would just project that he would desecrate Shabbos or curse his father and mother, that would not be enough of a reason to kill him now. This goes hand in hand with the Chizkuni. Why are we killing him now? Because he's a Roideif. Why is he a Roideif? Because he's going to kill someone. Fine. So we project he's going to kill someone, that's why we could kill him. But once we're projecting, we know he's going to do a whole list of things. And so we'll give him for the most chamor one. Now, Rav Shul Leib Diskin gives a second answer, which is actually pretty complicated. I'm going to say it in 1 minute. You ready? Bottom line is, let's say somebody kills three people. If you kill one person, you get the sword. So l'chayra, if you kill three people, you can't chop off his head three times, he should get skila. And he should get stoned. I mean, it should add up. Like, after you kill enough people, you should get it worse. So Gemara says, really, he should. But there are technical reasons we don't do that because of certain circumstances of Edim Zoymimim. But that's only somebody who actually kills someone. But somebody who we just project will kill people and will kill more than one person, then all of those killings should add up, and we in fact add them up and we give the person skila. One last idea. The Tosefta in Nagaim says that in Yerushalayim you cannot become a Ben Soira Moira. Why not? So the Meshech Chachma, last week we spoke at a Meshech Chachma, and Isaac said, hey, so it's the yard site of the Meshech Chachma. So this week's not the yard site of the Meshech Chachma, maybe it's someone else on the sheet's yard site. We'll find out after. But Meshech Chachma says as follows. The Meshech Chachma cites Gemara in Pesachim about a man by the name of Yochanan ben Narboi who filled up his stomach with kachim. He ate 300 cows and 300 barrels of wine and 40 large measurements of bread.
I guess over some time.
How much time? Basically, as long as this man was alive, there was never noisar in the Beis HaMikdash. He was like, you know, an endless pit. he cleaned up everything. So what do we see? There's a lot of eating going on in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Meshech Chachma, but not only the Beis HaMikdash, because there are many korbanos you could eat in the whole Yerushalayim. Karban Toida, Shlomim, Meiser Sheni. And they always were making sure there wasn't noiser anywhere. So people had to, you know, had to do the job. There are no leftovers. And not only that, they had to drink a lot of wine of Meiser Sheni. So therefore, we cannot fault the kid if he's in Yerushalayim and he's eating a lot of meat and drinking a lot of wine. In a way, it was a little bit part of the culture. So the Meshech Chachma says, interestingly, there was never a Ben Saro Moira in Yerushalayim. But two things we could learn from here. Number one, the Chassam Sofer says, from the principle of Ben Saro Moira, we see that sometimes God does, so to speak, intervene to keep a person at a certain level so that they don't, so to speak, go down. Which means as we approach the Yom Na'raim, we want to be able to give an excuse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, you know, renew the lease another time. We want to be able to say, Hashem, you know, I'm going up. Don't do me any favors. And don't do me any favors and cut it short while things are still going good. We want to give the Ribbono Shalom, we don't want any reasons or rationales. We want to give the Ribbono Shalom a valid reason to keep us around. And that is, we want to make sure that every year and every week and every month of our life, we're progressing and we're growing, we're elevating ourselves so that we have a zuchus to keep at it. But another important idea is that David HaMelech himself thought he was not capable of overcoming the temptation of the Ifas Toyar, and really he was. Which means, David HaMelech, so to speak, his shortcoming, we cannot say such a thing, but this is what it comes out according to the Chassam Sofer, David HaMelech underestimated himself. Even David HaMelech did not recognize how great he was. David was actually greater than he thought he was. And that's probably something that we could all say about ourselves, that we are all capable of being greater than we think we are. And Bezos Hashem, Hashem should give us the Siyata Deshmaya and the ability to exercise our Bechira, to elevate ourselves, and to be Zoyche to a year of Zechuyos, Tshuva, Masim Toivim. The good news is that the mystery and the majesty is back in print. Starting tomorrow. It was out of stock for about 9 days, and it will be available tomorrow. Bracha v'atzlach, everyone. Have a great night. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.